ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate, and scatter from them too many men and women. And fear Allah from you, demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a string, and every string is in the fire. Today we're continuing with the aqidah of the Shaykh Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdasi rahimahullah, and we come to the chapter Al-Imanu Bil-Qadr, or Iman, or belief in Qadr. And the statement of the Shaykh rahimahullah, وَأَجْمَعَ أَمَّةُ السَّلَفِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ وَحُلْوِهِ وَمُرِّهِ وَقَلِيلِهِ وَكَثِيرِهِ بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَقَدَرِهِ لَا يَكُونُ شَيْءٌ إِلَّا بِإِرَادَتِهِ وَلَا يَجْرِي خَيْرٌ وَشَرٌّ إِلَّا بِمَشِيئَتِهِ خلق من شاء للسعادة واستعمله بها فضلا وخلق من أراد للشقاء واستعمله به عدلا فهو سر استأثر به وعلم حجبه عن خلقه لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون قال الله عز وجل ولقد ذرأنا لجهنم كثيرا من الجن والإنس وقال عز وجل ولو شئنا لآتينا كل نفس هداها ولكن حق القول مني لأملأن جهنم من الجنة والناس أجمعين وقال عز وجل إنا كل شيء خلقناه بقدر The Shaykh Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, he says, the imams of the Salaf from the people of Al-Islam, they agree on al-iman in qadr, or predestination, or the divine decree, the good of it and the bad of it, the sweet of it and the sour of it, the little bit of it and a lot of it, in accordance with the execution that Allah takes to execute that which He has decreed. And nothing takes place except by His will. And there is no good or no bad except by His will. And He created whoever He will for sa'ada, or to be from amongst the people of paradise. And He used them as a favor or a benefit to them for being from amongst the people of paradise. And He created whoever He wills to be from amongst the people of Jannah, of Jahannam, of the hellfire. and he used them for it with justice. And this is hidden knowledge that he has stored up for himself, referring to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and this is knowledge that he has kept hidden from his creation. He isn't asked about what he does, but they will be asked about what they do. And that's from Surah Al-Anbiya, verse number 23. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, and we have created many from amongst the jinn and the human beings for the hellfire. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, and if we had willed, we would have guided every soul, or given every soul its guidance. But it is true from me that I will fill the Jahannam, or the hellfire, full of jinn and humanity. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, indeed we have created everything in qadr, or everything by the divine decree. وروى علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه قال كنا في جنازة في بقيع الغرقد فأتانا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقعد فقعدنا حوله ومعه مخصرة فنكس وجعل ينكث بمخصرته ثم قال ما منكم من أحد إلا وقد كتب مقعده من النار ومقعده من الجنة فقالوا يا رسول الله أفلا نتكل على كتابنا فقال اعملوا وكل ميسر لما خلق له أما من كان من أهل السعادة فسيصير لعمل أهل السعادة وأما من كان من أهل الشقاوة فسيصير لعمل أهل الشقاوة ثم قرأ فأما من أعطى واتقى وصدق بالحسنى فسنيسره لليسرى وأما من بخل واستغنى الآية وروى عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال حدثنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الصادق المصدوق إن خلق أحدكم يجمع في بطن أمه 40 يوما نطفة ثم يكون علقة مثل ذلك ثم يكون مضغة مثل ذلك ثم يبعث الله إليه ملكا 4 كلمات بكتب رزقه وأجله وشقي أو سعيد فوالذي لا إله غيره إن أحدكم ليعمل بعمل أهل الجنة حتى لا يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراعا فيسبق عليه الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل النار فيدخلها وإن أحدكم لا يعمل بعمل أهل النار حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراعا فيسبق عليه الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل الجنة فيدخلها وفي حديث عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه الذي رواه مسلم في الصحيح وأبو داود في السنن وغيرهما من الأئمة إن جبريل عليه السلام قال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الإيمان قال أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره قال فإذا فعلت ذلك فقد آمنت قال نعم وفيه من الأدلة ما لو استقصيناه لأدى إلى الإملال أبو الغني المقدسي رحمه الله said Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he narrates, he said, we were there in a funeral service in the Baqi al-Gharqad. That's the graveyard there near the Masjid of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sat down and we sat down around him. And he had a stick with him, and he turned the stick upside down, and he started scratching the ground with his stick. And then he said, there is not anyone from amongst you except that his place has been written for him in the hellfire and a place has been written for him in Jannah. They said, Ya Rasulullah, should not we rely on what has already been written? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I command you to work. Everyone will have it easy to do what he has been created for. And as far as the one who has been created to be from amongst the people of happiness or the people of paradise, then they will do the deeds of the people of paradise. And as far as the ones who will be from the people of the hellfire, then they will do the deeds of the people of the hellfire. And then he read the statement, which is from Surah Al-Layl, as far as the one who gives and fears Allah and believes in the truth, then he will have it, we will make it easy for him to go the easy path. And as far as the one who is stingy and think that he's self-sufficient, to the end of the ayat, which continues, وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى, and denies the truth, then we will make it easy for him to go the hard path, referring to the path to the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And this hadith has been collected by Al-Bukhari. Now, yes, they were at the grave, they were doing a funeral service at the graveyard, and then the Prophet sat down and they sat down around him. Baqi al-Gharqad. That's the name of the graveyard there by the Prophet's Master. And it's been narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated to us, and he is the truthful and the one who is believed in. Indeed, the creation of one of you is gathered in the womb of his mother for 40 days as a drop of sperm, and then it will be a blood clot for the like number of days, and then it will be a lump of flesh for a like number of days, and then the angel will be sent with four words, for it will be sent with four words, the writing of his provisions and the time that he will live, and whether he will be from the people of paradise or from the people of the hellfire. And I swear by the one who no God has the right to be worshipped except him, indeed one of you would do the deeds from amongst the people of Jannah until he is only an arm span from Jannah, and then what is written for him will overtake him, and he will perform the deeds of the people of the hellfire, and he will enter the hellfire. And indeed one of you will do the deeds of the people of the hellfire until he is only an arm span from the hellfire, and then what is written for him will overtake him, and he will do the deeds from the people of Jannah, and he will enter into Jannah. And that's collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And in the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiallahu anhu, the one that Imam Muslim collects in his Sahih and Abu Dawood in his Sunan, and others from amongst the Imams of Hadith, indeed Jibreel alayhi salam said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is Iman? He said, to believe in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers in the last day, and Qadr, the good of it and the bad of it. He said, they said, if I do that, will I believe? If I did what you just said, would I have believed? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. And the Shaykh Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, he says, in this chapter of Qadr or predestination, there is so much evidence that if I were to combine all of it together, then it would be nothing but boring. And this is the end of this chapter of Qadr. And the Shaykh who collected this book for Waz, he has some footnotes that we'll mention inshallah ta'ala. As far as the belief in the Qadr, he says, the people of Bid'ah, they have denied the Qadr or the divine decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this took place at the end of the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And the one who first exemplified this disbelief in Qadr was Ma'bad al-Juhani. And some of them say, rather, the first one who spoke against the belief in Qadr was Sansawi al-Baqal. And al-Awza'i rahimahullah, he said it was Sausan, was the first one who had disbelieved in the Qadr. And he is from the people of Iraq. And he used to be a Christian, and he accepted Islam, and then he turned back to Christianity. And then Ma'bad al-Juhani, he took it from him. And then al-Ghaylan, he took it from Ma'bad. And then the Mu'tazila, they took this bid'ah, and the other people, they took this bid'ah of disbelief and the Qadr from amongst the people who are known today as the Qadariya. And the Qadariya, or the people who disbelieve in Qadr, there are two groups. The first group is The one who thinks that Allah Azza wa Jal does not know anything until it takes place. And that Allah has not decreed that anything will take place before it has actually taken place. But that Allah only knows something after or while it is taking place. They say, إِنَّمَا الْأَمْرُ أَنْفُ. They say that things are from the beginning when they begin. I don't know if that's understood. Like, for example, I didn't read the next sentence yet, did I? How somebody know if I'm going to read it or not, because I might read it, I might not read it. All right, they're saying that every issue is no one knows what's the next move until the move is made. And they're saying that once or as the move is being made, Allah knows everything as it's taking place. Like as you read the first word, Allah is knowing as you're going along. This is their belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from denying belief in the Qadr. This is the evilest or the worst of the two groups, the people who have this position, and the statements of our Salaf al-Salih are mostly around this group. May the mercy of Allah be upon our Salaf. As they blame this group. And this group, unfortunately, has become widespread, as Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah mentions. The other group, it's the group of the people who say that Allah has, Azza wa Jal, has knowledge of everything. But they deny that Allah has created the actions of His servants. And they think that the servants are the ones who create their own deeds. And this is the madhab of the Mu'tazila, the madhab or the position that is still in existence today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being from amongst them. That's Qadr and what is meant by Qadr and the Qadariya, or the people who disbelieve in the Qadr. I just wanted to add, as the Shaykh has said, and they are the same group that's around right today. How could, as we were just talking recently, how could somebody just say we all Muslims and, you know, what difference does it make, we all Muslims, when somebody is saying Allah doesn't know anything until it takes place. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't decreed anything. How is everything going to be okay between us and them? And how are we all going to just be saying we all Muslims and everything is okay, let's overlook what we differ in and unite on what we agree on, when the people are disbelieving in the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which is established in ayat and hadith, so many that the Shaykh said it would be boring just to narrate all the ayat. And there are too many ayat and too many hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam around the issue of Qadr. But let's make believe that there was one ayat. It's sufficient to establish belief from one ayat. And it's sufficient to establish the belief from one hadith of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. There were a couple of other comments. That was it. I don't know if there are any other questions around the issue of Qadr, that Allah has decreed everything that will take place, and that people have already been created either for paradise or either for the hellfire. For paradise, from a favor from Allah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to favor us, or to be from the people of the hellfire with justice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah save us from being from amongst them. Yes, sir. Excuse me. The Qadriya. They're considered Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The brother asked me, the people who deny Qadr, are they considered Muslims? Yes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Knows best. No. Yes. I think that's referring to Waqf for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his verse. Now, many of the Muslims have deviated, and the ulama weren't quick to call them kufar, and we're not quick to call them kufar, but their belief is kufr. Now, their belief is kufr, or disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has us to believe in qadr, and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us the qadr. And somebody disbelieves in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has us to believe in, this is disbelief. But we don't call them kufar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This hadith of Jibreel, which is usually the beginning part of this story, is usually not quoted. And you see it in the narration of Imam Muslim rahimahullah. As this hadith of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, where Jibreel came and asked the Prophet ﷺ, what is Islam and what is Iman, and the Iman has the belief in the Qadr. This hadith was narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiallahu anhu. Some people, students of knowledge, they came from Iraq, and they came to the city of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, Al-Madinah. They came to meet the companions of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as they had an issue. Their issue was that there are people who believe in and read the Quran and are considered scholars from amongst the Muslims who disbelieve in the Qadr. And those two people, they felt, all we have to do is go to the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and have the issue decided. So they came to Medina and went to the Prophet's masjid, and lo and behold, there they were with Abu Abdurrahman, Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiallahu anhu. They explained their case to him, and he said, I heard my father say, كنا جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا طلع علينا رجل شديد. To the end of that hadith, we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, when a man came up from amongst us. He had very white clothes and dark black hair, and none from amongst us knew him. He had no signs of the traveling on him, until it came to the question of Jibreel to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this was the Sahaba's refutation on the people who disbelieve in the Qadr. And this is where we get our understanding of our Salaf al-Saleh, as they not only narrated to us the Quran and the Sunnah, but they narrated it to us and they knew the understanding of it, as we see in many of the hadith. If we see the story that led up to the quoting of the hadith, then we see the meaning that is established in the hadith. And this hadith is the refutation, past and present, for whoever disbelieves in Qadr. Because they heard this hadith from the Messenger of Allah, and they narrated it to refute the people who said that there is no divine decree, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't decreed for the people who's going to be in Jannah and who's going to be in the hellfire. And the people, sometimes if we just talk about it just like that, we're not going to go into it too much, inshallah. We talk about disbelief in the divine decree. It doesn't just take place like somebody hears an ayat or hadith, he says, nah, I don't believe in that. But he lets his intellect or his lack of reasoning, for real, or his ignorance, lead him to disbelieve in it. He says like this, you tell me it's already decreed who's going to be in Jannah and who's going to be in hellfire. Wherever I'm going, it's already decreed. That's what you're saying? Exactly what we're saying. Alright, where I'm going, I don't know, but it's already decided and you're going there. Well, that don't sound right. That ain't fair. You mean, if it's already decreed for me to go to the hellfire, I don't even have a chance to go to paradise? Nah, the people have been decreed to go to the hell, they go into hell and that's it. This is what makes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, this is what makes the people disbelieve in the Qadr, that they put their intellect above the text. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this, case closed. But if you try to let your intellect reason, then you think with your ignorance that you know better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I remember hearing our Shaykh Omar Falata from Nigeria, he used to always refute this. And it used to be feuded with the likes of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. And when they deviated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased them in deviance. People going to the hellfire, you think he's okay. What about the good old lady who lived next door? The man, he looked so innocent, so on and so forth. Just look on the news and the people who be caught, busted doing what they're doing. They didn't look like he was a killer. What does a killer look like anyway? Somebody who looked mean, he's a killer? Wallahi, people killing people, you don't have to look mean to kill somebody. And you don't have to look, spooky or something to commit whatever crimes that the people commit or what have you. People look like normal people. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us fags or homosexuals. They just look like regular people. I ain't talking about like the flaming fags or nothing like that. Just the regular people who call themselves homos. Alright, they just look regular. Alright, but they commit in the crimes that they commit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. You don't know what's in people's hearts. You don't know what people are doing. So don't think that your intellect is a better judge than the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He looks like he's a good person. I know he was good. I ain't never seen nothing from him but good. You ain't see everything. Nah. Is there someone who saw everything that somebody else is doing? And this is usually the case, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, of the women. The women always call the masjid crying. You think he's a good brother, Abu Muslima. I know him. I live with him. Nah. How a lady come to the masjid, her eye black. You see the brother, you say, nah, sister, couldn't have been him. We know the brother. Alright. Other people know better than we know. In some cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better than everyone. This belief has been established in the Quran and in the Sunnah and in the aqidahs of the Imams of the Muslims. The Sahaba, they refuted the people who disbelieved in Qadr, and we should refute the people who disbelieve in Qadr. Allah has decreed everything. He has created our actions, and He has determined already who will be in Jannah and who will be in the hellfire. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst the people of Jannah. I don't know if there were any other questions left in the Qadr. The next chapter, Al-Isra wal Mi'raj, or the journey and the ascension, or the journey from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, and then from there up to the seven heavens. The Shaykh Abdul Ghani al-Maqtasi rahimahullah, he says, وَأَجْمَعُ الْقَائِلُونَ بِالْأَخْبَارِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآثَارِ أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أسري به إلى فوق سبع سماوات ثم إلى سدرة المنتهى ثم إلى سدرة المنتهى أسري به ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى مسجد بيت المقدس ثم عرج به إلى السماء بجسده وروحه جميعا ثم عاد من ليلته إلى مكة قبل الصبح. ومن قال إن الإسراء في ليلة والمعراج في ليلة في الأخرى ومن قال إن الإسراء في ليلة والمعراج في الأخرى فقد غلط. ومن قال إنه منام وإنه لم يسري بجسده فقد كفر. قال الله تعالى سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. وروى قصة الإسراء عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أبو ذر وأنس بن مالك ومالك بن صعصع وجابر بن عبد الله وشداد بن أوس وغيرهم رضي الله عنهم كلها صحاح مقبولة مرضية عند أهل النقل مخرجة في الصحاح. أبو الغني المقدسي رحمه الله says, is that me? Yeah. Oh. That's that? Huh? You can't stop it. It's working. Allah musta'an. The Shaykh rahimahullah, he says, and the people who say that they follow the hadith or the narrations, and the believers and the narrations, they unanimously agree that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the journey made the journey above the seven heavens and then up to the Sidratil Muntaha, and that he had traveled at night time from Al-Masjid Al-Haram to Masjid Al-Aqsa, and this is the Masjid Baytul Maqdis, and then he ascended to the heavens, his body and his spirit together, and then he came back in the same night to Mecca before morning time. And whoever says, indeed the journey at night and the ascension was in another night, they are mistaken. And whoever says that this took place while he was asleep, and indeed he had only made, and he didn't make this journey with his body, then he has disbelieved. Allah Ta'ala said, Subhana, glory be to the one who had taken his servant on a journey at night from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. And the story of the journey has been narrated on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Abu Dharr and Anas ibn Malik and Malik ibn Sa'sa and Jabir ibn Abdullah and Shaddad ibn Awsan and others radiallahu anhum. All of these narrations are sahih and acceptable and pleasing with the people who collect hadith, and they are collected in the authentic collections of hadith. The Shaykh rahimahullah says, وَأَنَّهُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ رَأَى رَبَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ كَمَا قَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى. قَالَ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ فِيمَا رَوَيْنَا عَنْهُ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَأَى رَبَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَإِنَّهُ مَأْثُورٌ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ صَحِيحٌ. رواه قتادة عن إكرمة عن ابن عباس والحديث على ظاهره كما جاء عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الكلام فيه بدعة لكن نؤمن به كما جاء على ظاهره ولا نناظر فيه أحدا. وروى عكرمة عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال إن الله عز وجل اصطفى إبراهيم بالخلة واصطفى موسى بالكلام واصطفى محمدا بالرؤيا صلوات الله وسلامه عليهم أجمعين. وروى عطاء عن ابن عباس قال رأى محمد ربه مرتين. وروي عن الإمام أحمد رضي الله عنه أنه قيل له بما تجيب عن قول عائشة من زعم أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم قد رأى ربه عز وجل الحديث قال بقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رأيت ربي عز وجل. وفي حديث شريك بن عبد الله بن نمر عن أنس بن مالك أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رجعت إلى ربي وهو في مكانه. والحديث بطوله مخرج في الصحيحين والمنكر لهذه اللفظة بعد هذا الحديث راد على الله ورسوله. عبد الغني المقدسي رحمه الله said, and he, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, saw his Lord Azza wa Jal as Allah Azza wa Jal says, and indeed he saw him another time at the Sidratul Muntaha. The Sidratul Muntaha, and they call that the lotus tree, I think. That's what they call it. Huh? Lot tree? The lot tree. This is the place that no creation goes beyond. Allah is beyond that. Nah. And what is below that is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And this is the place where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had went at the time of the Isra wal Mi'raj. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, as we have narrated on him, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw his Lord Azza wa Jal. And indeed, it has been narrated on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam authentically, that Qatada narrates on Ikram on the authority of Ibn Abbas, and the hadith is on its literal apparent meaning as it is narrated on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whoever discusses this issue and discussion of this issue is bid'ah. Rather, we believe in it just as it comes in its literal apparent meaning, and we do not debate anyone in this issue. And Ikramah narrates on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah that indeed Allah Azza wa Jal chose Ibrahim with the khulla, or to make him the Khalilullah. And he chose Musa with his kalam, or his speech. And he chose Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the ru'ya, or the seeing of his Lord. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi wa jama'in. And it's narrated by Atta on the authority of Ibn Abbas that he said, Muhammad saw his Lord two times. And it's been narrated on the authority of Imam Ahmad radiallahu anhu that he said that he was questioned, or it was said to him, what would you say about the person who narrates the statement of Aisha, whoever claims that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw his Lord to the end of that hadith? He said, I will say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw my Lord Azza wa Jal. And in the hadith of Shuraik ibn Abdullah ibn Namr, on the authority of Anas ibn Malik, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I just came back from my Lord, and he was in his place. And this hadith is long, and it's been collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And whoever denies these wordings after this clear hadith has opposed Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is the end of the issue of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, but there's some comments from the Shaykh, and then if there's any questions after that, we could do our best to entertain them. Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, this is from the miracles and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have blessed his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. And the ulama have agreed, or have the ulama have compiled books, or composed books on this issue of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, or the journey in the ascension. And from amongst those is Ibn Kathir, who collects these hadith in his tafsir. And As-Suyuti, he also collects them in his tafsir, Ad-Durr al-Manthur, and also in his other book, Al-Akhasa'is al-Kubra, or the things that are specific for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh, he also says, pertaining to the point that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was made the journey and the ascension with his body and his spirit together, he says this is the position of the majority of the people of tafsir, or the scholars of tafsir, and the scholars of hadith, and the scholars of fiqh, and the other scholars, as they have taken the position that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the Isra and the Mi'raj together in one night while he was awake. And there are many narrations that prove this point. The Shaykh, he says, as for those people who say that the Isra, or the journey, was in one day and the ascension was in another day, then they have held on to some hadith, leaving out the other hadith, which make them mistaken in the issue. The Shaykh, he said, as far as the people who say that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made this journey and this ascension while he was in a dream, and his body didn't go alayhi salatu wasalam and do all of that traveling in one night. The Shaykh, he comments as he says, this statement, Subhanalladhi, that begins this ayat that shows that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the ascension and the journey, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say subhana, or glory be to Allah, except if there is something magnificent that has taken place. And if it was only a dream, then it wouldn't be a big deal that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled to the seven heavens in a dream, or he went to another city far away and came back in the same night if it was a dream. And Quraysh would have not hurried to deny this. This is like our case today. If somebody said, where were you last night? You say, I went to the moon. Man, I was on this nice rocket ship. You know, it was three brothers with me, Whatchamacallum. We had some real nice halal food there. We were reading Quran and stuff. The next thing you know, we saw that we were heading to the moon, and we actually landed on the moon. And we thought that, you know, we were going to float away because of the weight and stuff like that. But we made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we were able to walk on the moon without any weighted shoes on and stuff like that, without any oxygen and whatever and so on. And he narrates the whole story and stuff like that. You said, you must have been asleep or dreaming. He said, yeah, I was dreaming. Would anybody deny that somebody can have a dream like that? No one denies. If you say you're dreaming, the people would tell you you're dreaming before you tell them you're dreaming. And nobody denies anything that someone says took place with him in a dream when he wasn't awake. But the Quraysh denied it because they knew that the Messenger of Allah sallam had left with his body while he was awake, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is why they denied it. And this is, as the Shaykh is showing, reasoning to show that the Prophet sallallahu made this journey and ascension while he was awake with his body and his soul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh, he says, nor would the people who were weak in Islam would have apostated over this issue if it was only the issue of a dream. Naam, because the people believe in the dream. He said also, this statement in the ayat, glory be to the one who made the assumption of his servant. His servant shows that this is a spirit and a body. Or, if it was a dream, it wouldn't have said his servant, it would have said the spirit of his servant. If it was just a dream or something like that. And it isn't far from the intellect to accept that something had taken place in the dream either. Also, the Prophet ﷺ would have not been carried on the buraq, or the riding animal that took the Prophet ﷺ, because the spirit doesn't have to be carried on an animal like the body does. And the Shaykh refers to some of the books that deal with this issue. No. That's the first ayah from Surah Al-Isra. No. Chapter number 17. As far as the statement that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw his Lord Azza wa Jal, then Al-Hafidh Ibn Al-Qayyim, he says in his book Ijtima' Al-Juyush Al-Islamiyyah, he says that Uthman ibn Sa'id al-Darimi, he writes in his book Al-Ru'ya, that the Sahaba have all agreed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not see his Lord on the night of the ascension. And some of them say all of the Sahaba except Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Our Shaykh, referring to Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, he says, there is really no difference of an opinion in this issue if we look closely. Because Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he didn't say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw his Lord with his two eyes. And the narration of Ahmed rahimahullah, in the narrations that he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Allah Azza wa Jal, it didn't say he saw Allah with his eyes. And it's possible for us to see that the statement of Imam Ahmed and the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas is similar. And Imam al-Bayhaqi rahimahullah, he says in his book Al-Asma wa Sifat, he says, the narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Aisha, the daughter of a Siddiq and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, agrees that these ayat that were revealed pertaining to the sighting of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this was the sighting of Jibreel alayhi salam. And in some of the narrations, it has been reported to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he knows best this ayah. In this ayah where it says, and he saw him a second time at the Sidratul Muntaha. Then they say what is meant by this ayah is that he saw Jibreel alayhi salam. Not that he saw Allah, but that he saw Jibreel alayhi salam in his original form twice. As Jibreel used to come in the form, as the hadith of Jibreel that we're referring to, he came in the form of a man. And oftentimes they said that Jibreel looked like Dihya ibn Khalifa al-Kalbi, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Dihya was amongst the most handsome companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said this is what Jibreel had looked like. But Jibreel had his original creation with his wings and what have you there. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this only twice. Naam. And this is what is meant by in that ayah. Naam. Yes. Talking about Jibreel. No, that's referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No. There's going to be some other stuff. Let's just follow the chain that the Shaykh is going, and then if we want to add on, inshallah ta'ala, if there's some questions, we can continue. Inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. It seems like something could be done about that. Yeah. We can like turn it over or something. Yeah, maybe we could like turn it upside down, or maybe the sound is coming out one side or something. Huh? No, let's just turn it off, man. Then they just miss it. They taping it up there, inshallah. Yeah, to get it caught. The Shaykh also comments, he says that the Salaf have differed in the issue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sighting or viewing his Lord tabarak wa ta'ala. Aisha radiallahu anha and Ibn Mas'ud, and some differ on Abu Dharr, that he did not see his Lord tabarak wa ta'ala. Others have the position that he has saw his Lord tabarak wa ta'ala from amongst them, Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abdul Razak on the port of Ma'mar, on the port of Hassan, that he swore that he, Muhammad, saw his Lord. And Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Fath al-Bari, he says that we could take a look in combining these different narrations. Abdullah ibn Abbas saying that the Prophet saw his Lord, and Aisha saying that he didn't, radiallahu anha. And the Shaykh, he didn't quote Aisha's statement, but Aisha's statement, radiallahu anha, she said, and this hadith is in al-Bukhari, من زعم أن محمد رأى ربه فقد أعظم على الله الفرية. She says, whoever claims that Muhammad saw his Lord has invented the biggest lie against Allah. No. And she says at the end of one of her statements, rather it was Jibreel, he saw him twice. No. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, he says, you can take Aisha's statement of denying that the Prophet ﷺ saw his Lord, that meant with his eyes. And the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas that he saw his Lord, that meant with his heart. That meant with his heart or with his intellect and not with his eyesight. Allah knows best. The Shaykh Fawaz, he says, and it's possible to take another look at these two statements of Ibn Abbas and Aisha radiallahu anha. With another look, and this is that Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says or he confirms that the Prophet ﷺ saw his Lord, and that this took place when the Prophet ﷺ was in a dream, and the dreams of the messengers is truth, and not that he saw him during the night of the ascension. And that Aisha radiallahu anha, that she's denying that they saw, the Prophet ﷺ saw his Lord during the night of the ascension only, and not that, or that the Prophet saw him while he was awake. This is what Aisha is denying, not that she's denying that he saw his Lord in a dream, but rather she's denying that he saw him while he was awake. And if we take a look at it like this, then there's no opposition or contradiction between everyone's statement. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Wallahu Ta'ala A'lam. And that's the end of this section. Nah. I think you're talking about the hadith of Abu Dharr. The hadith of Abu Dharr is where Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ara'aita Rabbak?" Qala nurun anna arahu. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Did you see your Lord?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Light, how can I see him?" It's light. Nur, how can I see him? Na'am. And this is why the people have differed with Abu Dharr. Was that statement showing that the Prophet ﷺ saw him or didn't see him? And it seems like it's a statement that he didn't see him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he said it's nur, it's light. How could I have saw him? Allah knows best. Nah. Everybody heard that? This issue of the rock in Jerusalem and the masjid, the dome of the rock, I've never been there and I've never seen it except in a picture. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best about it. However, there is one thing that I do know. That masjid, dome of the rock, which is the pretty masjid, that the color is like a bluish tile and is shaped with 10 sides or more, and it has the gold dome, the famous masjid that everybody saw. That is not Masjid al-Aqsa. That masjid with the gold dome is not Masjid al-Aqsa. That masjid with the gold dome that's in all of the pictures, that's widespread, and the shape of the masjid is like 10 sides and the color is bluish, it looks like tile. You see some people around it in the courtyard. That is not Masjid al-Aqsa. Nah. That point I do know. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. On some of the bigger pictures that have that masjid, you can see Masjid al-Aqsa in the background. And some of the scholars, they have said this was the plot of the Jew to make this picture known to the Muslims, so much so that it puts a type of love in their heart for this masjid, more so than actually knowing Masjid al-Aqsa, so that when the Jews overtook Masjid al-Aqsa, there was no fight, because everybody thinks that that masjid is it, and it's not. Not. So everybody's going to the Masjid Dome of the Rock, and the Jews are in control of Masjid al-Aqsa. وَلَا حَوْلَا وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. Now, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with a trip and a visit to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength to take it back. But really, it's as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on this last point, so we don't get too far politically, inshallah ta'ala, no offense. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim.
Indeed, Allah would not change the condition of a people till they change what's in their own selves. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after He's blessed everybody with His favors and His bounties, that Allah is not going to change that condition of you being blessed by snatching away your bounties until you change your own condition. Meaning until you change your conditions from obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to disobedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. I used to see on some of the TV programs, and maybe some of the people are still seeing, you don't even know who's Muslim on those programs, where people throwing rocks, ain't no beards, all these crazy mock janazas and what have you, and disobediences to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's not going to get us back Masjid al-Aqsa or any other land. Rather, all of this land is for Allah. All of this land is for Allah, and all of it is to be conquered by the Muslims. Now, all of this land is Allah's, and all of this land is to be conquered by the Muslims. Wallahi, Liberia has just as much Liberia. Everybody's heard of Liberia on the western coast of Africa, where the ex-slaves of America went back to the back to Africa thing and took over in Liberia. And the last three or four generations, the people have accepted Islam there from the Mandinko tribe are Muslims. And they were the wealthy and the strong people, and the government made open season on them. And this issue never became public. It had taken place months before the Bosnia incident, and it was exactly like the Bosnia incident, except it wasn't propagated over the world. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمِ. But this was the same case there, and it's the same case in other places. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turn us back to our deen, as this is the only way that we're going to have victory. As the Prophet ﷺ says in some of the narrations, حَتَّى تَرْجِعُوا إِلَى دِينِكُمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Until you return to your deen. This is the only way we'll have victory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I don't know if there was anything else. No. It's easy, inshallah. Bismillah, my bad. As far as the issue, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he made the Isra wal Mi'raj and the discussion of the between Musa and the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and the issue of obligatory salat, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam asked Allah from where he was with Musa, or did he go back to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? I haven't memorized the exact wording of this hadith, but this question, the answer of it, is like the answer of other questions similar to it. Every question that is asked about the affairs of the unseen, the only answer to it is Allah said, His Messenger said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's to be taken on its apparent literal meaning with no interpretation and no explanation. No one can talk about the affairs of the unseen. No one can figure out anything around the affairs of the unseen. All we can do is narrate the text of the Quran and the Sunnah and say we believe in it. So there's no explanation around the likes of these hadith or these issues on the issues of the unseen. All of the affairs of the unseen, all we can say is we believe in it. And who was the one to figure out what took place? Like some scholar can say, really, let me tell you what took place, you see. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was with Musa, where in the world is he getting all of this explanation from? Is the shaytan revealing to him? Or does he have a text from Allah and his messenger alayhi salatu wasalam? So anything about the affairs of the unseen, the answer is the reading of the hadith again. Then you say, I believe in it, and the discussion is over. Now, I don't know if there was anything else around the issue of the Isra and the Mi'raj. Some of these topics could be longer and bigger topics. However, the Shaykh is mentioning them in brief, for lack of better words, to establish for us our aqidah and what we believe in. To establish for us our aqidah and what we believe in as Muslims. And what we cover today is the Qadr and the Isra and the Mi'raj. They are a part of the belief of the Muslims. We believe that Allah has decreed everything before it has taken place. He has decreed who will be in Jannah and who will be in the hellfire, and He has created the actions of His servants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has had His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam travel from Masjid al-Haram in Mecca to Masjid al-Aqsa, and had him make the ascension up to the seven heavens, to the Sidratul Muntaha, with his body and his soul. We believe that it took place, and this is a part of the belief of the Muslims. Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.